and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Six minutes after the hour. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. Another big Tuesday show. Let's go right to Lawrence Corr because he's a big, big name.
That's right.
Former Assistant Defense Secretary under Ronald Reagan. Let's check in with Larry. Can I call you Larry?
Please do.
Larry, let's talk first about Libya, because obviously, that is a fast-developing and a volatile story. What is your take on what's going to happen next?
Well, eventually, Gaddafi's going to go. More and more of his military people are defecting. The international community is beginning to take action. You had, the UN sanctions. We've dried up a lot of his money and that of his family around the world. And the United States and its European allies, are moving ships into the area. And I think at some point, if it gets out of hand where he uses a lot of the planes to kill innocent people, you'll have a no-fly zone. So the question is, how long is he going to stay? Is he going to go? And then, of course, what happens after? Because he was the first leader ever to unite all the tribes into, this country we call Libya, and that's going to be interesting to see what happens. As we've seen in Tunisia, it's one thing to get rid of a government, then you got the next government that didn't like that either. So, that's the more difficult period, the transition.
Yeah. Well, I know. Americans, our attention span, I think we're too busy watching Charlie Sheen's meltdown to watch Gaddafi's. But Secretary of State Clinton said this yesterday.
It's time for Gaddafi to go. Now, without further violence or delay.
That's pretty unequivocal. As usual, our friends on the right, Larry, have been criticizing the Obama administration. It just seems like it doesn't matter what the situation is. There's a better solution, apparently, than what the Obama administration's doing.
Yeah, if they were to act too quickly and Americans, were killed, or our embassy was captured like happened in Iran, then they'd say, well, see, you should have, waited till the Americans got out. No, I think he's playing it just about right. And the other thing that's important, we do not want this to be seen as an American-led, insurrection against Gaddafi. And I think that's very important, because when you do that, then you put a different color on it, and something, he will rely on to try and justify his staying in power.
Absolutely. I think, as you say, there's so much going on, I'm sure, behind the scenes, as that, it's hilarious how the right wing always thinks that, unless you're doing it in public and you're, chest beating and saber rattling, it's no good.
Right, and it's the other ironic thing is they're claiming that, it was Bush's actions that led to this, by going into, to Iraq, that sort of.
Right.
And I'm thinking, no, this is the way to do it. Let the people do it, not us forcing it. And I don't know if you've noticed, they've had riots in Iraq lately.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. You have to take heart in some of Secretary Gates's comments, don't you? We finally have a leader saying, what did he say? A president ought to have his head examined if we
I agree
send
with
troops.
Him, but I wish he had done that when he was there.
Exactly.
He drives me nuts because he goes to Abilene, gives a speech, sounds like Eisenhower, then comes back and increases the defense budget. He's the one who supported Obama sending 70,000 more troops to Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's great to say that, but do it.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Then help us get out of both of these wars quicker. He also talked about how health costs are eating the Department of Defense alive. You put out a report on that. Talk to us about that.
Well, what's happened is that we're spending more this year in the defense budget on health care costs, primarily for retirees, than we are on the war in Iraq. And if you keep going, by 2015, it'll be more than we're spending in Afghanistan. And what has happened is that military people can retire after 20 years. Most of them go to work until they're, 65. Because we have not kept the balance between their health care plan, which is called TRICARE, and what the taxpayers owe, they don't take the plans at work. For example, you know, we point out in that report, we found out this, you know, retired Marine making more than six figures at this consulting firm, Booz Allen Hamilton, plus probably $75,000 in retired benefits. He said, I'm not going to take the health care plan here. I'm going to stay on the Pentagon's, which is $420 a year. And see, that we said, hey, wait a second, you got to restore that, you know, that balance. And, you know, basically, we also said that they put in this new program called TRICARE for Life, which supplements Medicare. But there's no, you know, you don't have to pay to join, and there's no, you know, cost sharing. So it's way overused. I mean, you know, if you're not going to have to pay, you know, you go to the doctor, you know, much, right, much more. So if you do things like that, you can hold it at 50 where it is now, rather than going up to 65 by the, you know, by the middle of this, by the middle of this decade. And we point out this doesn't impact active duty troops, not the people fighting. You know, it's interesting. Very few of the enlisted people fighting those wars are going to retire. In fact, the Marines, after 4 years, they kind of like want a big turnover. So we're not impacting them or their families. And it's not going to be wounded veterans because they're taken care of by the Veterans Administration.
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's important to point out. It doesn't affect active duty service members, nor does it impact lower income or seriously injured veterans, correct?
Right. And, you know, the thing is, this, the Pentagon, we quoted the Pentagon's own studies, which, again, we knew that. Now, Gates has moved tentatively. He wants to save, like, $5 billion over the next 5 years, which is okay, but you really have to do it much more significantly because, you know, if the defense budget remains flat, you know, over the next 5 years, which is kind of best case given our, you know, our deficit problem, that means that a higher and higher percentage will go to health care costs, which means it'll be less to, you know, buy planes and maintain training.
Yeah. Oh, you okay?
Excuse me.
Yeah. Well, you know, Larry, one thing I always want to talk to you about, it, because we've talked about it so many times, to just to switch gears here, is, you know, having worked under Ronald Reagan, I wanted to get your take on, I guess, the latest Republican, Senator Bennett in Utah. I don't know if you heard his comments, but he basically said, you know, Reagan held views that were absolutely an anathema to the Tea Party. The Tea Party sort of claiming him, as many conservatives do, as sort of their hero. And, I mean, isn't it ironic?
Oh, it is. In fact, on Reagan's 100th birthday, I wrote something that said he'd be comfortable at our organization, which is always characterized as left-leaning. Look, he made a mistake. We made a mistake in Lebanon. We got out. You know, we didn't stay.
Yeah.
Yes, he cut taxes, but then he saw the deficit. He raised them.
Yeah.
He saw Social Security was in problem. He raised the retirement age from 65 to 67 and, you know, raised the amount that, can be, taxed for Social Security.
Right.
And he raised taxes 11 times.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
So these people, you know, again, they're trying to, you know, deify him, and they don't understand him.
Well, and I think, you know, the more critical thing, Larry, with, you know, a shutdown maybe looming in Washington is, you know, as Bennett said, Ronald Reagan would not recognize the description of Ronald Reagan many conservatives have of him. You know, and one of the things I'm quoting is he said it's better to get 80% of what you want than zero. Reagan would compromise. Reagan would make deals. This whole, you know, version of the Republican Party is about not, look at in Wisconsin, it's about not negotiating, not making any deals with anyone, not backing down from anything.
Sure, and you know, they'll say, well, Reagan fired the air controls. No, what happened is they went on strike, and he said, if you don't come back, I'm going to fire you, okay, because it's illegal for, you know, federal workers to strike.
Right.
So, you know, this idea that he was, you know, busting unions is simply not, not true.
Well, he was a union president and certainly a supporter of unions, whether it was in Poland or elsewhere, correct?
Yeah. And again, you know, I remember when he started negotiating with Gorbachev, Newt Gingrich called him Neville Chamberlain.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's hilarious how they try to cast Obama as some kind of, you know, hippie peacenik.
Yeah.
When, you know, Ronald Reagan was the one that wanted zero nukes in the world.
That's right. Yeah. He'd have given them all away if Gorbachev had bought off on the Strategic Defense Initiative or Star Wars. And the other thing is, people forget, he was willing to share that with the Soviets because he said, I don't like nuclear weapons. So if we both have this defense, we won't need any more.
Yeah, and he again, and he negotiated with the Soviets. And I was saying, you know, I think it was last week, immigration came up, and I thought, boy, you even the specter of even saying comprehensive immigration reform on the right, you know, and here's Ronald Reagan who gave amnesty to millions of illegal immigrants.
Yeah, he did. And you know, I mean, issues like that, I had to deal with them on, like, women in the military. You know, I mean, Phyllis Schlafly was criticizing me and writing these articles and stuff. So we had this meeting, and the president says, well, you know, if we had trouble in Europe, you know, I'd like to, you know, take them out. You know, I don't want them captured or killed. What do you think? I said, you'd lose the war. He said, well, we better leave them in. And we made more advances for women in the military in terms of numbers and dropping restrictions than have ever been done before.
Yeah, she was delightful. I knew her, Phyllis Schlafly. she's just a delight. All right. Larry Korb, it's always such a pleasure to get your take on all this, particularly around the world. Thanks so much, and we will talk to you again.
Thanks for having me.
Talk to you again soon. There he goes, Larry Korb.
Yay!
Yay! See? He knows who Phyllis Schlafly is.
Yes.
All right, 16 minutes after the hour. Representative Bruce Braley coming up. We're having like a traffic jam of guests.
I know, right?
Off the top here, right? On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller.
Shiny object on TV alert.
I know.
And my God, Hal Sparks is on CNN right now. And he'll be here tomorrow for Home Days with Hal. Yeah, he's talking. The Charlie Sheen thing is you can't take your eyes off it.
Yeah, it's sad.
It's really sad. And just, wow. Wow. Is he doing another something? Did I hear 2020, the whole hour or something?
Well,
I kind of feel like maybe it's time to stop paying attention. It's time to stop, you know.
Well, ABC was supposed to have gotten this exclusive with him, and then he went to the Today Show, and then he went to Piers Morgan last night, so ABC's just livid about this whole thing. But
I don't know. The only good thing about it, Chris, it makes me feel better about my life.
Yeah.
No matter who you are, you're like, okay, well, I've got it together compared to that. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. We're joined now by one of our personal favorites, Representative Bruce Braley of the great state of Iowa. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. I thought these Republican budget cuts were scary, and then I was listening to your commercial for the bed bugs, and it scared me even more.
Yeah, you know, I read an interesting story, I think it was yesterday in the paper, Congressman, that it's really interesting that I think, you know, whether you look at Madison or across the country, people are starting to pay attention, aren't they, to what Republicans are really proposing and really trying to do. I think the headline was, you know, Americans afraid of GOP budget cuts is when you're actually explain to them what it is and what it's going to affect. It is pretty terrifying.
Well, when John McCain's principal economic advisor comes out with an independent analysis saying that their budget cuts are going to kill 700,000 jobs, I would think people would wake up and pay attention.
Well, you know, and this was the other story I happened to read on the same day, is that, you know, TARP took such a beating, right? I mean, by the Republican Party. And, it, you know, I think the report was that it actually cost a lot less than we thought it was going to. And it clearly worked. It clearly worked as intended, as did the stimulus. And I think, you know, what the president keeps saying is absolutely true. This is not a time in this fragile recovery to do these kind of cuts.
When I was doing town hall meetings in my district before the election, talking to local business groups, I would ask them to estimate how much had come into that particular county in stimulus funding under the Recovery Act, and they always grossly underestimated it. And then I would go through the numbers of individual businesses in that county who had benefited from Recovery Act funding, and people seemed flabbergasted. I think it was a sign that we were so caught up in intense legislation on so many different issues that it was difficult for us to get the message out of the tremendous impact those programs had in our districts.
Yeah. Well, Congressman, I don't know if you've seen the latest poll out today. I think New York Times CBS poll shows support for these embattled public sector workers. That's the only thing that gives me hope, right, is that, you know, this may be the quickest case of buyer's remorse voters have ever had. You know, the poll in Wisconsin already shows that if the election were held today, Governor Walker would lose. I mean, it's 60 to 30 excuse me, 60% to 33% Americans oppose weakening the bargaining rights of public employee unions. So, you know, they are paying attention to what's happening in Wisconsin and elsewhere, aren't they?
Well, we had a solidarity rally on the Iowa State Capitol steps last week, and I started out by saying, my name's Bruce Braley, and I'm proud to be a public employee. And then I started saying, you know, we want to blame public employees for all the economic problems in this country. Instead, we should be thanking them. They're the people that clean the bathrooms in public buildings. They're the people who teach your kids and drive them to school. They're the people who put out fires in your homes and businesses, keep your streets safe, guard the prisoners that we put away. And they're the people that make a difference in your life and get out and plow your streets in the middle of the winter when nobody wants to get out of their bed.
Yeah.
But they rarely get thank yous because people take them for granted.
Well, and, you know, it just is when you really, now that the spotlight has been shined, particularly on Wisconsin, I mean, it really is unbelievable what Walker is trying to do, isn't it? I mean, it you think, first of all, he caused this deficit by giving away all this money to special interests. He could close it by closing loopholes for the top 1% there, and it's literally, you're right, he's taking it out on the backs of workers that had nothing to do with causing it.
Well, and it's so transparent because the premise for making these decisions was the economic problems facing the state of Wisconsin. And so when the workers agreed to concede on the economic issues, he was still unwilling to give up the impact on collective bargaining rights, which shows that it's purely motivated by political reasons, and that's what we're seeing break out in states all over the country.
Right, I think clearly the polling is showing the public, you know, it's clear that the governor's the one being completely unreasonable. I mean, I just wonder, I don't know what your take is on Washington, is that going to be mirrored in Washington? I know Republicans are saying, oh, we don't want a shutdown, but is that just to, you know, avoid the blame if in fact there is a shutdown because they kowtow to their Tea Party base?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, you will hear from some of the more senior Republicans in the House, them expressing concerns about the impact these votes are going to have on these new Tea Party freshmen, because they're voting to cut program after program. And just in today's Washington Post, there was an article about some of those freshmen going back home last week and getting, you know, vilified at their town hall meetings because all of a sudden the cat's out of the bag and they are now having to identify the programs that they're getting rid of.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's what we're hearing out of Washington sounds hopeful, right? Like there is going to be a deal on the budget, but what do you think?
Well, I think there's a very good chance that they will put together a two-week extension, but that really forestalls the inevitable, which is at some point in time, we're going to have to figure out a budget plan, and I think that that's when the real test is going to come, and I don't see how they're going to keep doing two-week extensions the rest of the year. That just seems totally unworkable, especially when people are trying to make decisions and plan based upon funding from various federal programs.
Well, I think, you know, the report by, obviously, as you said, John McCain's former economist, I mean, they said they ran on jobs, they won on jobs. If, you know, you have it in writing, 700,000 jobs gone with these cuts. That's the whole case to me.
Well, you look at my state of Iowa, we're going to lose about 10,000 infrastructure jobs. The renewable fuels industry has been devastated under their proposal. That could be as many as 50,000 jobs.
Congressman, we're at a hard break. Thank you so much. Talk to you again soon.
You bet.
All right, there he goes. 29 minutes after the hour, Stephanie Miller Show.
So sure I'm going to regret this, but who was I with?
The fun-loving and morally loose Miss
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Let's check in Wisconsin. David in Washington first. Hey, Dave.
Hey, good morning, you guys.
Hey.
Hey, specifically, the Sunday talk shows. Is it my imagination or is Scott... Or Scott Walker getting away with the prank call and the whole the whole plan that was exposed during his conversation with one of the co-cores.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you can get away with it. I mean, to say, oh, I say the same thing in public that I said in this private call. No, it's exactly the opposite of what you're saying in public.
Exactly. So there's something creepy going on with the network media that we see on the television that's pretending that there isn't this plan to not just target the unions, but to get rid of, you know, a major source of funding for the Democratic Party, you know, for the upcoming elections. I mean, it's so crystal clear.
Yeah.
Well, the networks would love it if they didn't have to have union employees either.
Well, no, I mean, and that's you're exactly right, David. That's what drives me crazy about this is this, you know, having to seem like fair and balanced the media. And it just, you know, I'm sorry. Look at this poll I just cited. Even despite the media, the American people don't see this as fair and balanced. They think the governor is clearly in the wrong and they are clearly on the side of the workers.
Yeah, and O'Reilly and Beck have sure been mysteriously quiet, speaking of union members, because they are union members.
Yeah, they are.
Yep, I know. Governor Walker gave absent Democratic lawmakers an ultimatum. See, this is how they talk now, in ultimatums and threats. It really is amazing.
Yep.
I mean, public opinion clearly against him. And he's giving the Democratic lawmakers the ultimatum to return within 24 hours and vote on this bill to strip the power of it, which, again, is completely just about union busting.
Yep.
What began as one small state trying to rewrite the rules of labor relations has blown up into what could be the biggest confrontation with American labor unions since President Reagan fired the which, by the way, interesting, we just had Larry Corbond, who also talked about, and Chris Matthews has talked about this, how that was even entirely different, that there was a law federal workers couldn't go on strike. Reagan said, if you don't come back to work.
Yep.
I'm going to have to fight. This is entirely different than what Governor Walker is trying to do. The president, for the second time since this erupted, weighed in yesterday.
I don't think it does anybody any good when public employees are denigrated or vilified or their rights are infringed upon.
Did you hear what Walker's response was? He immediately issued a response saying, I'm sure President Obama simply misunderstands the issues in Wisconsin. You know how, you know, notoriously dopey he is. I'm sure he just doesn't really understand.
No.
Yeah, he understands exactly what's going on. I love this. That must be the talking point. Here's a Republican Wisconsin state senator.
That's unfortunate, I think, because maybe the president doesn't grasp really the situation that the state is in and other states as far as that goes.
Yeah.
Where we're really struggling to deal with this major deficit.
Yeah. All those, by the way, you know, 100,000 people or whatever that were in the Capitol, you're all dopey too.
Yeah.
You just don't
understand what's going on.
The biggest protest crowd since the Vietnam War in Madison this past week. You're all just dopes. You just don't get it. You don't understand. It's happening. I mean, that not just the size of the protest, Chris, but the polling around the country shows me people get it exactly what's happening here. And I mentioned this poll to Larry. A new poll on Monday suggested if the election in Wisconsin could be replayed. I'm telling you this, and I said this, this is the quickest case of buyer's remorse I've ever seen. The public policy polling survey found if the election were repeated, it would flip. The Democrat Tom Barrett would get 52%, Walker 45%. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a pretty quick turnaround.
It really is.
Monday, a report also came out yesterday from the state, a state fiscal analyst saying that the restructuring Walker wants would add more than $42 million of interest payments over the long term. So everything he's saying just doesn't add up. Wisconsin State Senator, I can't pronounce his name, Erpenbach, he's a Democrat.
Erpenbach.
He doesn't need to threaten their lives. He doesn't need to use them like poker chips in a big high-stakes game. He has the money he needs to balance the budget.
You know what? In fact, I think Progress, I think, had a great piece on it. They went through, and he could solve it like this, and not on the backs of hardworking public employees. Jeff in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Steph. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, I wanted to just support the caller from Washington who was talking about Scott Walker kind of getting off scot, no pun intended, but scot free on the prank call thing, and I wanted to point out that there's I don't want to get too much into conspiracies here, but there's potentially a reason why these network news organizations would not push it, and that's because they benefit from that money that the billionaire brothers, Koch brothers, and any other, you know, corporate money that comes in. That's where it's going to be spent. It's going to be spent on political ads, and it's going to be spent at the network, so it benefits them greatly to let that whole plan go into action.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it's really, I mean, it's incredible, this story. It's just, you know, it gets clearer and clearer, Chris. I mean, every, what do you call it? I mean, this, like you say, he can go on and do a media, and he doesn't get challenged. Governor Walker misleadingly claims his union-busting bill doesn't end collective bargaining.
That's false.
That is a lie.
Yes.
This was some interview he did in the state. He claimed his budget repair bill, which actually has little to do with balancing Wisconsin's budget, does not end collective bargaining for public employees, but only narrows it down.
That's a lie.
Are you kidding me? Walker is making this claim because his budget repair bill would still allow workers to negotiate, quote-unquote, for their wages under a cap that Walker and the Republican legislator wants to set in stone. This is clearly not collective bargaining in any real sense of the word, since public employees would already have strict limits imposed upon them before they even get to the bargaining table. Mm-hmm. I mean, give me a break. Plus, restricting collective bargaining to only wages means the employer can simply change other elements of worker compensation, like slashing benefits, to make up for any wage increases without workers having any say about it. His goal is simply, as we've said over and over, to bust public unions. That's in Indiana. Mitch Daniels, that's exactly what happened when he ended collective bargaining rights. Mr. Daniels said, after he banned bargaining, membership in the unions, oh, that must have just been a coincidence. They nosedived by 90%. Because workers decided, obviously, it's no longer worth paying dues to newly toothless unions. This is all this is about. Earlier this month, Walker claimed his proposal left, quote, collective bargaining is fully intact. And this is the problem with, you know, the fair and balanced media. You can't just say that, sir, is just a complete lie. That's not, you know, unbelievable. Well, I mean, is that negotiating anybody recognizes? It's already set in stone. There's nothing left to negotiate by the time you sit down.
That's not negotiation. That's being a thug.
That's like a negotiation-like substance.
Yeah.
Like the butter-like substance on your popcorn that's not actual butter at the movies.
What is that stuff?
I don't know. That's my point. Scott in Minnesota, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Stephanie. We love ourselves a mama in Minnesota.
Thank you, babe.
I have a quick statement, then a quick question. You have a complete C student college dropout moron running Wisconsin,
yes.
Unfortunately, and I feel so bad because I have a lot of great friends in Wisconsin, and we here in Minnesota are supporting you. Thank you.
And
second of all, Obama, whether you like the guy or not, is quite brilliant. So knock out the you know, these guys have to knock out the Obama dummy stuff, because this guy, I mean, he is quite brilliant, let's be honest.
Yeah.
And my question is, with all of the lies and just the utter idiocies that this guy has spewed in the last 3 months, okay, he's been caught lying, he's been caught in conspiracies, and I know they have to wait a year to basically vote this chump out, which is going to happen, but can't the people of Wisconsin somehow, just get enough signatures just to call for this guy's resignation?
Yeah, I think you have to wait a year. I mean, seriously, though, Scott, you're right. This is the quickest I have ever heard serious calls for recall of a public official in history. I mean, it's unbelievable. Doesn't someone have a picture of him from Craigslist so we could get rid of him sooner, for God's sakes? Isn't there somebody that's, you know, I don't know. I think progress is the piece. Ending special interest tax dodging would balance Wisconsin's budget and end the war on unions. I mean, this is so simple. I mean, it literally, they wrote a great piece, declining tax revenues from a recession caused by Wall Street and corporate tax cuts Walker immediately rammed through the legislature are much more responsible than the relatively minor shortfalls the state is facing.
Mm-hmm.
Walker claims the state is facing this $137 million dollar budget deficit, says that the state's hardworking public employees should sacrifice their pay and benefits and have their collective bargaining rights crippled in order to close the budget gap, despite the fact that they aren't responsible for it, Chris. They've already agreed to take those cuts.
That's right.
That's the amazing. They've announced they'll accept paying half the cost of pensions, 12.6% of the cost of health insurance, as long as they're allowed to keep their collective bargaining rights. And Walker obviously flatly rejected that. Think Progress wrote a great piece. I mean, they went through the entire budget there. They said all he has to do is look at his state's tax code and take action to close a handful of special interest tax loopholes and tax breaks so the state's richest pay their fair share, so the middle class that has already sacrificed so much doesn't continue to have to bear all the burdens of the recession by itself. I'm getting so many letters from Wisconsin that people, you know, people are saying, if I have to hear shared sacrifice one more time, I'm going to puke. They're not asking to share the sacrifice. They're asking to take it all out on unions. unions.
Corporations aren't sacrificing at all.
Yeah, they're taking it all out on the hardworking people and not how is that shared?
It's not shared.
Let's go to Richard in Milwaukee. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Richard.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, it's so obvious they blame the recession on unions and working class people. I mean, it just goes on and on. And the scarier figure who's been making noise and has suddenly become the media darling is Paul Ryan, one of our esteemed senators. And as you know, his hometown is Janesville, and this guy goes home. He's wildly popular, but back in D.C., he supports legislation that encourages, like GM, for instance, just shut down, lost 2,300 jobs in Janesville to ship their businesses overseas. And this guy, I mean, they sit there and they go back home and they talk about jobs, but they go back to Washington and they do nothing but encourage layoffs and lack of money. And then they rip FDR about the big, the savior of the recession. But any economist would say that FDR reduced unemployment from 25 down to about 10.
Yeah. Richard, I mean, I gotta tell you, the problem is they don't seem to let any sort of facts get in the way of their plans, like this report that Larry Corbett is telling us about. This was John McCain's economist, says the GOP's budget cuts would cost 700,000 jobs. I mean, if you're a conspiratorial person, you go, they are trying to do this. They're trying to take the economy and make the unemployment picture worse so that they can win in 2012. I mean, it really, you hate to think that about fellow Americans, but you're like, wow. Are you really trying to govern this badly, or does it just come naturally to you?
It looks like they're trying to govern badly.
46 minutes after the hour. All right, much more to come as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is Too Weird, Man.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
What? It is the Stephanie Miller Show. It's the new Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
In the video, she gives birth to a goop color covered machine gun.
Yeah.
She makes me feel normal. That's why I like her. Her and Charlie Sheen are making me feel much better about my life.
Oh, yeah.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
Yeah. The video premiered yesterday, and it's wild.
How's my egg coming that I want to make my entrance into the show
that was
the show
so
on?
Last week. Mm.
Nobody does what I say anyway.
No.
Give me an egg. Mike in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Mike.
Hey, Steph. Hey, Chris. You know what? Two things no one's been talking about, which is actually a bright light in this nightmare in Wisconsin, is first thing is Ed Rendell brought up a great point on Chris Matthews yesterday. He said the unions are in lockstep now. If by chance, and we hope this law or this bill doesn't pass in Wisconsin, if it does, come election time, anyone with an R next to their name, the unions are going to be in lockstep and voting every single one of them out.
Yeah. Mike, I absolutely agree with you. I think this is such a critical tipping point, and I hope you're right, but I really do. I think that they have awakened, activism like we haven't seen it in this country in a while.
No, I totally agree. And also today, Walker is going to be announcing what programs he's going to be cutting to balance his budget. So he's, by the end of the business day, not only the unions are going to be livid with him, so many other people in Wisconsin are going to be.
Yeah,
so
that aren't already. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, honey. Yeah, I mentioned this headline. New York Times poll shows support for embattled public sector workers. As labor battles erupt in state capitals around the nation, a majority of Americans say they oppose efforts to weaken the collective bargaining rights of public employee unions and are also against cutting the pay or benefits of public workers to reduce state budget deficits, according to the latest New York Times CBS poll.
Mm-hmm.
Or, as it will be reported on Fox, completely the opposite. They'll just, because they're so gaffe prone in the Chiron department there. It'll flip the numbers.
Well, if I made that many mistakes, I'd be fired.
Americans oppose weakening the bargaining rights of public employees by a margin of nearly 2-1, 60% to 33%. That couldn't be much clearer. Asked, by the way, here's another critical part of this poll. Asked how they would choose to reduce their state's deficit, those polled preferred tax increases over benefit cuts for state workers by nearly 2-1. I mean, that's the thing. This whole party, this whole Tea Party, this whole Republic, it's just, that's all it's about. Cut taxes, cut taxes, cut taxes. And it's, most people don't believe that. It's just, that's all they scream about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people look at these, you know, the economy and these budgets and the deficit. There is no way you can do it by that. You can't even, I mean, as much as you're going to make the workers suffer, you're still not going to close the debt. All you got to do is close those loopholes for for these corporate interests. You know, in the top 1%, and you've got your quote-unquote crisis solved.
Yeah.
Let's go to Roz in Atlanta. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Roz.
Hi.
Hey.
I heard yesterday that it only takes 3 months to recall senators in Wisconsin. They probably have enough people, and it can take as little as 20,000 signatures. They probably got enough people on hand to start that right where they're at.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, by the way, the other thing that's interesting, though, in this poll, pretty unequivocal,
mm-hmm.
but it also says labor unions are not exactly popular, though a third of those view them favorably, a quarter of them viewed them unfavorably. I'll tell you what that's about. It's just, you know, first of all, look at talk radio. You've got zillions of stations union bashing 24/7 for a year. And this is the thing, is when you look at the actual issue, people are on their side.
Yep.
It's because they've just, like I said, they've given them such a bad name. You never hear the word union without the word thug after it, whether it's right-wing radio or Fox News, you know. So, but I'm just saying, boy, the power of the people is pretty mighty despite the imbalance in the media.
I think,
you know,
Walker's...
Look at Fox News. It's on, you know,
yeah.
Basic cable. It's everywhere. MSNBC, again, the only ones really telling the story here. And, you know, they're doing great, but they're not on as, what do you call, which, you know, the...
Lower tier,
yeah.
I think Walker's being a thug. He's
he's
acting like the thug he wishes the union heads were.
Yeah. Another kind of scary story, I don't know where this is from, but for the right risk, Wisconsin was years in the making.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what people, I'm telling you, got to wake up and pay attention to, is progressive infrastructure. And I know that's, you know, affects me, but it also affects this whole, I mean, all the policy in the United States, because you can't, I mean, this is the problem, is the people largely are on our side. It's just we have a little microphone compared to right-wing radio, MSNBC, compared, and the mainstream media, as a lot of people pointed out today, they're more corporate than they are, you know what I'm saying? Everything's got to seem like, oh, it's all the same, both sides have a point here. It's like, no, when Governor Walker goes on Meet the Press and lies, you should call him out and say that's a complete lie. I mean, it's this sort of polite, yeah. Yeah, this story, the conservative assault on the public sector unions that seemed to explode out of nowhere in Wisconsin and spread across the Midwest is, in fact, months, if not years, in the making, the results of methodical polling, lobbying, messaging, grassroots organizing, and policy crafted by these well-funded conservative groups. Americans for Prosperity, that's the one that's gotten the, you know, they're funded partially by the Koch brothers. I mean, again, one prank call is exposing more of this than I mean, how ridiculous is that? But anyway, it's a network. This story is talking about, it's a network of free enterprise, small government think tanks and state capitals in Washington, and it's a lot of different, one of them, Karl Rove's group, by the way.
Oh,
you know, they've
great.
Been doing this in a focus group analysis last year, Resurgent Republic, a conservative polling outfit that was part of the network of big money groups conceived by Karl Rove.
Mm-hmm.
Suggested that Governor Christie's confrontations with unions, though polarizing, earned him respect among New Jersey voters for making tough decisions. I mean, this is the thing. This is all Frank Luntz and how we, you know, position this and how we poll it and how we... It literally every time is, how do we divide people?
Right.
And in this case, this is what they do. They get people to go, oh, yeah, that's what it is. It's public workers are the problem here. It's their big fat pensions and yada, yada. And then... So that's what I'm saying, is this didn't come out of nowhere in Wisconsin. Chris in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Chris.
Hi, good morning. Adding a layer to this... Usually I like to listen to Howie Kurtz, and he talked about the fact that this guy punked Governor Walker, and they lost the whole big picture.
Right.
And I thought about back to Dan Rather. Do you remember when he got, not punked, but he reported something that was true, but
right.
Everybody vilified him? So this is another layer to that conspiracy. They vilified that. They vilified this guy from Buffalo, and yet they're missing the big picture,
yeah.
Which is that he's unmasked himself and that Bush had done some stuff that had been dastardly. That's
yeah.
What I wanted to add to it.
Yeah, no, exactly. Somebody was saying that Chris Matthews even put it in the sideshow. Like, it's just a prank call.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a prank call. I mean, that was really...
Telling.
Yes, exactly. Exposed a lot. 58 minutes after the hour, we've got Charlie Pierce, we got Representative John Yarmouth, much more. Don't go away. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, look out, everybody. I think Jim Ward's about to go all Charlie Sheen on our ass. He, some extras sat on his glasses on some set he was on yesterday.
No, I lost two pairs of glasses on the same day. One, you know, regular one, sunglasses. It was a mess.
All right. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. StephanieMiller.com, the website.
At least you have that excellent Union Vision plan.
Yes.
All right. All right. Dolores with another unsolicited testimonial. Staff, I'm glad I found your talk show. It's humorous and informative on serious issues. Why, thank you. You're truly for Main Street folks. I have a confession. I've listened to the right-wingers in Rush for a little bit, but they don't know how to have fun. Your audience is so much more fun to be with and smart. Mm-hmm. It's true. We have the smartest kids in class, and we're more fun. Oh, guess what I did yesterday? I stumbled on Mark Levin's show again by accident.
Why? Why do you keep doing that?
Listen, when Randy Rhoads is done, I sometimes lose the will to live. And when I'm out hiking later, and then I was like, what? Oh, does he talk like that all the time?
He's sarcastic and far right wing.
Does he actually, do people actually listen to that? He's so angry. He just...
Anyone who knows Stephanie Miller, and there aren't many,
all
knows
right,
she
whatever.
Has no...
Sick of him. I can't listen anymore.
Well...
He's just and by the way, Jim, half the time when people, the right-wingers, are going off on something, I'm like, wow, I hope he's right. He's like, what is this? The president offering flexibility to the states. What's that? It's a backdoor plan for single payer. I was like, oh, I hope so.
Good. Yes.
Well, good.
All righty then.
That would be...
Did you notice that he pretty much reads...
He talks like this the whole show because he's just always in a state.
There's some people who find that entertaining, I suppose.
Have you noticed that all he does is read stuff out of newspapers?
In a really angry voice.
Yes.
Oh.
That's not radio.
He's sort of the anti-Mozart.
That's not radio. That's reading for the blind.
I don't.
Reading for the blind who wish they were deaf after listening to Mark Levin for a couple
hours. No, it's not even
the
politics I mind. It's just, I'd be fine if it were entertaining. You can't listen to that voice, that angry voice for that long. It's, all right.
Yes, you can.
I find Laura Ingraham more soothing.
I think they should be on the same show. Yeah, great idea. Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, Laura Ingraham and Mark Levin having sex?
Ooh. Oh, come on. Come on.
Okay. That's it. A little more to the right. No, more to the right. More to the right. Not to the left. Just to the right.
I bet he does have that thing, the priapism, to the right.
Priapism.
Yeah, it probably goes to the right. Okay. All right, let's see. Sue in Rockville with a little, it's a story about my eggs have recently flatlined,
mm-hmm.
as you know.
Yep, they are muerta.
Yes, muy.
Muertas?
Muy.
Muertos?
Subject line, sometimes it's just the right thing. Steph, you know how once in a great while you see a driver do something totally moronic and dangerous, and then miracles, the cops go by and nails the jerk, or you see a Bible-thumping right-winger get caught with a boy toy pushing his luggage, so to speak, at an airport, or get caught hiking the Appalachian Trail, and you think, finally and perfect. Even though I love you madly, and I've subscribed to the Stephcast for over 4 years, yada, 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 $4.95, after listening to you talk about kids at various ages and what they can and cannot do or what you should buy them and the state of your now-defunct AIDS that have finally gone poofed, and I have to say, finally and perfect. Sue, the official parenting specialist of the Stephanie Miller Show, who truly applauds you and all those who realize before they make children that they should never become parents. If only there were more like you, Steph. Thank you. It's almost the only good judgment I've ever shown in my life. Just kind of stunning. Yeah, I think we were discussing that my friend and I, who was also a childless loser, we had to buy a baby gift for a shower one time.
Yeah.
And we didn't, we went to a hardware store. We don't really know, we were not really even aware where the baby type stores are or what sort of gift. Anyways, Kurt has sent me a picture of his son, Devin, who is 1 year old holding a wrench, and it says, it's from Devin. Thanks for the wrench for my first birthday. It's my very first one. I'm fixing my dad's toilet. Maybe I can come over and do some work at your house. All my love, Devin. Anything? That's a little picture of Devin there with his wrench.
That's cute. Baby's first wrench.
Baby's first bandsaw.
All right. right. Oh, here's good news for me. Scientists have invented a butt bra. For, I mean,
no, you don't need a butt bra.
P90X is working fine for now, but like, who knows?
Of a butt to need a butt bra.
Well, if I do, looky here what they got.
Although, once you approach 50, things drop without notice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like a construction zone. You'd need a hard hat. It's like a leading U.S. psychologist has patented a bra for the butt, which, according to her, restores pertness. It is a garment which features straps worn around the waist and under the buttocks. Oh, it's almost like, you know, the
lift
window, window washers. It's like,
yeah.
It's pretty much a jock strap. That's what it sounds like.
That sounds comfortable.
It sounds like one of those bras that Jane Russell used to advertise for.
Sadly.
Sadly, we lost her yesterday.
Along with my eggs. She is muerta.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, hey, looky what it's time for.
Wheel of Right Wing Hypocrites.
Uh-oh. What'd they do now?
Could you take out your organ for me, please?
Well.
Church.
Okay. All right. Sounds like someone else took out their organ.
Jimmy, yes. The headline is anti-gay fundamentalist preacher booked with masturbating at a Louisiana park.
Huh.
The Reverend Grant Storms. Is that his real name or his porn name?
Is that who you are? What you do?
That's really his name?
Storms.
Oh, no.
Or he's a weathercaster.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. The Reverend Grant Storms. It is a weathercaster name.
Like now Dallas. we go to Grant Storms.
He's like a storm reporter. Wouldn't he be perfect?
Sure.
Yeah.
Like Dallas Rains.
I'm out here in a hurricane. I thought I had some kind of seniority by now, but no.
We've often said that's going to be the worst job,
yeah.
The storm reporter.
Mm-hmm.
They're always getting blown away, you know, blown into light posts and stuff. Okay, the Reverend Grant Storms, more importantly, a Christian, a fundamentalist, of course.
Sure.
Figures.
Best known for his bullhorn protests of the gay-themed Southern Decadence Festival in the French Quarter, was arrested for allegedly masturbating at a park Friday afternoon. Storms told deputies that he was merely having lunch in his van.
Sure.
When
and
he decided
that's all
to,
right with me.
When he decided to relieve himself using a bottle instead of using the restroom.
Sure.
Right.
Right.
Two witnesses, though, say they saw Storms through the open window of his van masturbating himself while watching children on the playground.
Ick.
Armed with bullhorns, Bibles, and picket signs, Storms and a group of followers in 2003 protested against Southern Decadence, the gay three-day festival held over Labor Day weekend in the French Quarter. Because that's icky. Because of the gays.
Yeah.
Whacking off in your van while watching kids, that's what the Lord apparently wants. And so that you're not gay. His efforts prompted the New Orleans City Council to ban megaphones and other amplification devices. Storms could not be reached for comment Monday. Perhaps someone should stand in front of his house with a bullhorn and ask questions.
Yes. Excuse me, Reverend Storms?
Just go to the local jungle gym.
You're not answering the phone, so we have a question about you being a big fat hypocrite. Big fat homophobic hypocrite. Do you have any comment?
Can't somebody please go to his house with a megaphone and ask what he thinks about that? If he thinks there might be a
I think it would be entirely appropriate.
Hypocrisy?
Okay, you should go away. I will give you some candy.
Speaking of bullhorns, I got caught in the Westboro Baptist Church traffic over the Oscars this past weekend.
They were at the Oscars?
They were at the Oscars. They called them the Fag Oscars.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And there was a big, one of them had a big...
just this year? Aren't they always that?
They're all... But one of them had a big sign of, one Oscar statue having... relations with another statue.
I see. Right.
Gay relations, yes.
Oh!
Yeah.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
They're not human, and they don't even have genitals. But...
No, they don't.
Okay.
Oscar has no genitals.
Okay.
Having said that, I really don't need to hear gay men commenting on women's beauty issues. Oh, that dress is hideous. She looks awful.
No,
she
doesn't care what you think.
She's gorgeous. What are you talking about? You're looking at the dress.
There's a vagina under that dress. What do you care?
I was using my X-ray vision to look beyond the dress.
All right. Yeah, straight guys in dresses. How do you like this dress? Will you take it off? Okay. I love it.
No, Amy Adams looked gorgeous. And, you know, that blue thing and the pendant. Yeah. Oh, I don't know about that pendant with that dress.
Shut up! Wow.
It's like Mr. Blackwell judging people. I saw Mr. Blackwell at a restaurant.
I think we've hit a button with Jim. Wow.
No, I saw Mr. Blackwell at a restaurant before he passed on. But he was wearing, like, checks and stripes and fur and medallions.
What? Fabulous.
Where do you get off telling people how to dress?
K-men care a lot about the dress because they don't ever want to see it off. So it's very important to them how the dress looks on.
No, we want more of a muumuu. A burqa. That's perfect.
All right, let's check in with Madison.
That's my rant on the Oscars.
All right, thank you, Jim Ward. That was
good.
Right
the red carpet. Prelude.
That was a Jimprovisation.
It was.
Steph and Madison, what's going on?
Hey, I just, you know, I keep hearing callers saying Wisconsin needs to start a recall petition. The recall petition's been there since day one of this protest. It's inside and outside the Capitol. It's spreads down all of our streets, plus it's online. And I do want to just say one little shout-out to Buffalo for helping in our recall efforts. I mean, you've really helped it along because now there's, you know, there are lawyers just sifting through this and dissecting his little call and whatever he's doing. So it's not, you know, it's not like we're a bunch of dummies. Hell, there's a hell of a lot of teachers here protesting. So I think we're probably smart
To exactly. Figure it out. Exactly, Steph. We'll see if he, quote unquote, gets away with it in the long term. All right. 18 minutes after the hour, right back. We got Charlie Pierce, we got Right Wing World, we got Celebrity Stock.
The show's going to explode.
Yep.
And we may have more fashion comment from Jim Ward.
More fashion commentary. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a combination of low self-esteem, low blood sugar, and mixing red wine with my dog's painkillers.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, I get it. It's for noted fashion critic Jim Ward.
That's right.
22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Let's go to Linda and Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Linda.
Hey, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, I would have loved to have heard some gay men comment on the attire of the Westboro Baptist Church.
Oh, and they're just their split ends. Don't get me started.
Oh, you know what? They were dressed in Walmart off the rack.
They're a very fetching congregation. I was just calling because I think I want people to not lose the fact that we have a Supreme Court election on April 5th, and that is the first chance we're going to have to send a clear message to the legislature and the governor that we're not happy about the current status.
Yeah.
David Prosser, the incumbent.
They might do better on Get Out the Vote than the unions ever could, ironically.
Well, exactly. But, you know, Club for Growth spent $300,000 on an ad buy for the incumbent David Prosser the weekend before the primary.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're already buying him. And his campaign manager said before the primary that he was looking forward to being a compliment to the current the conservative legislature and governor. So, I mean, people have to get out and support Joanne Kloppenburg. There's just no way around it. If we can't defeat Prosser, we keep the conservative majority on the court, and anything that makes its way to the state Supreme Court
Is
the Walker's budget.
Yeah, we got to pay attention now, Linda. You're absolutely right. It's just, you know, we can't just go, okay, well, now the protest is over. I mean, that's exactly it. We cannot afford to sit out another election.
What'd you say? Oh, it's time to pay attention. Okay.
Yes, right. Thank you, Jim. Thank you.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
What?
All right. The headline is, President Obama offers states flexibility on health care law, which, according to Mark Levin, is some sort of nefarious plot to single payer, to which I say, bully.
Yes.
Well, bully, if that's true.
He
extended an olive branch to states struggling to implement his health care law, offering support to a proposal that would give them some flexibility in carrying out its key parts.
I heard it would let them opt out in 3 years, which doesn't seem
What he said is he highlighted part of the law that would allow states to tailor their own solutions to the health care reform if they fulfilled the same goal as his as his reform.
Right.
And he supported a measure to put forward in Congress to move that date up to 2014, I think is what you're talking about. If your state can create a plan that covers as many people affordably and comprehensively as the Affordable Care Act does without increasing the deficit, you can implement that plan, and we'll work with you to do it.
Aha. Well, then Fox News reported that very, very poorly yesterday. They didn't report it like that.
How
they said it would allow
possible?
States to opt out in 3 years.
The president.
And if you can come up with more ways to reduce Medicaid costs while still providing quality care to those who need it, I will support those proposals as well.
Yeah, I think that he's talking about if it... Okay, that this is what the three-year thing you're talking about. Yes, go ahead.
I think that's a reasonable proposal. I support it. It will give you flexibility more quickly while still guaranteeing the American people reform.
He did another nifty thing politically. He singled out Mitt Romney when talking about state reforms. He said, "I know many of you have asked for flexibility for your states under this law. In fact, I agree with Mitt Romney, who recently said he's proud of what he accomplished on health care in Massachusetts and supports giving states the power to determine their own health care solutions." He's right.
Okay. Yes.
Mitt's dead for 2012. That's it. It's over.
Exactly. I love this. I love this part of the story. Obama's comments may complicate Republicans' efforts to differentiate between the reform Romney instituted as governor and the overhaul enacted by
Stop
Obama.
Stop saying that. Stop saying that. You let the dogs out. Woof, woof, woof.
Well, Mitt Romney's got the first presidential, the first endorsement of the next President Obama supports his health care plan fully.
And Newt Gingrich is saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Frankie.
Oh, because
Frankie.
He's just like,
Frankie, thank
it's
you.
Just like his.
Little breaking news about Newt Gingrich.
No.
What?
He's expected to announce whether he's going to run for president by the end of the week.
Oh, boy! So exciting. Okay. Governor Mitch Daniels, Republican, Indiana.
We cannot afford, in an aging society, to pay for the most expensive technology for every single person, regardless of income, to the very, very last day.
You can't. Some people don't deserve that.
Don't deserve to live, apparently.
Yes.
That's what his point is.
Yeah, some people should just die.
That sounds death penalty to me.
Isn't that what Alan Grayson
said? For God's sake, just die.
Didn't Alan Grayson say that's a Republican plan? Just die and die quickly?
That's right.
That seems to be.
Governor Mary Fallon, Republican of Oklahoma.
Because Oklahoma wants to do Oklahoma's own plan. We don't believe that a one-size-fits-all national health care plan is right for our nation.
You know, I have to say that's really smart politically what the president did.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the chipmunks again. No, no, after you.
After you.
Oh, no, no, you
after
first.
You.
After you. Oh, no, you first. Thank you.
If you can come up with a plan as good as mine and not increase the deficit like mine does and cover that many people, why?
After you. Oh, no, you first. Thank you.
I love those gophers.
All right. Ray in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah,
hi, Ray.
Steph. Just a quick thing about Mark Levin. There's an old Chinese proverb, a man who angers himself should dig two graves, one for himself and one for the enemy he seeks to destroy. He's had four bypass operations, so I just think about that.
He's going to have a cardiac or brain-related event, for God's sakes, if he doesn't calm down.
He needs national health care.
This thing in Madison, what this is really all about, the big picture, is that we're seeing the last phase of a massive concentration of wealth scheme that I think started about 30 years ago when Reagan reduced the top tax rate from 70 to 20. And that's what it really always is. If Walker sells off or privatizes public utilities, if he sells off wilderness areas, if he gets rid of pensions and Social Securities and moves them to 401ks, ends unions and collective, that's all about concentrating wealth. And one of the things I keep thinking of the Gettysburg Address because I memorized that when I was a kid. Are you still there?
Yes.
Oh, okay. And there's a part in there where he says, Lincoln says, now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. Madison is that battlefield.
Oh, okay. All right.
And
well, I was afraid you were going to read the whole thing there for a second. Okay. All right. No, he is absolutely right. Point well taken. Charlie Pierce next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Looks like she's having a good time.
No, she's just had so many faces, her mouth is stuck that way. The kids call her the Joker.
This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners have tried GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. You know, I mentioned I have a 2011 Reince Priebus. And
yes.
Guess what? The political genius who got Scott Walker elected? Reince Priebus. Slowly I turned. He was the Wisconsin GOP chair. Thank you, Reince. Okay. It's Tuesday, by the way. You know
There's
what
only
that means.
One man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce. Charlie Pierce, the funniest writer in the world, from the Boston Globe.
Why's everybody always laughing with me?
Well, good morning, Charlie Pierce.
I can never tell when the pre-recorded thing ends and you begin. You have to do your phony little trumpet there, because that's the only way I know.
Oh, okay, here we go.
Oh, by the way, I'm go ahead.
Yeah, okay, sorry.
Here we go. I'm sorry.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Charlie Pierce. Thank you.
That's very good. That's Roxanne Felicer's prom song, as I recall. I'm sorry to hear Jim Ward is, like, walking around blind today. It's a terrible thing, losing two pairs of glasses.
Oh. I have backups.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think reading for the blind who wish they were deaf, Politics in the New Millennium, maybe the next book.
So what?
Make it stop!
No, please. So, Charlie, what's your take on Wisconsin? I was just talking about this new CBS New York Times poll. I mean, that's the only good news, right? Is the American people largely behind the workers here, and yet the Republicans just don't care, do they?
No, they don't. They don't have to care. I mean, they still got. He's going to unveil apparently the rest of his plan to devastate the state's economy today, and you know they've already passed one of those. You got to have a supermajority to raise taxes things that have worked out so well in California.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
I mean, he signed one of those earlier this week. So yeah, I mean they've got this other thing stalled. I mean, they've got the collective bargaining thing stalled as long as the Democratic state senators keep loving them cheese platters at the Holiday Inn Express wherever they are. But
right. Well, I mean, the problem is, it seems like time after time, I mean, the mainstream media, it just drives us insane. It's just like, I think someone said that, CNN was reporting, there's protesters, some for, some against. It's like, no.
Yeah, well, the other thing was CNN apparently did not have a lot of coverage of the huge demonstration in Madison over the weekend, but did stop to cite the one-year anniversary of the Tea Party.
Yeah.
So, I'm glad we're celebrating the anniversary, because it's been a seminal and helpful force in American politics for a year now.
Well, we'll leave it there.
we were already saying that, the other part of the polling is that, of course, the election were held today, Scott Walker would lose. And, but it's too early to recall him. He has to do a lot more damage. You have to do damage for an entire year, apparently, before you
I love my adopted home state, but you elected these guys. You don't get a do-over.
Yeah.
Wake up next time.
Yeah. Well, don't you think that's part of this story that may be the silver lining that this really may be waking if this polling is correct.
I would hope so. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it has a little bit to do with the fact that you do not have less than a year before the Iowa caucuses. You don't have an announced Republican presidential candidate yet.
Yeah. Well, Charlie, now I'm going to pick a fight with you because
I'm
just saying, some Obama bashers and Democrat bashers may have helped cause this, is all I'm saying. And remember, I said, do you know how much worse it's going to be if we get Republicans in? Well, here you are.
I don't think that's what happened at all. I think people reacted to a really bad economic situation and gravitated toward the people with the loudest microphone.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Basically, when you come down and you look at the numbers and what happened, it was a pretty conventional midterm for a first-term president.
Well, that's exactly it. It's turnout in 2012. We have got to reawaken this base, and I think that certainly this may be helping. Certainly, a lot of the gay rights rulings. I mean, I think there are a lot of things that really may reactivate the whole base that elected Obama.
All right, now I'm going to pick a fight.
Okay,
I would
good.
Like for the president to get up and give a speech unequivocally supporting what's going on in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right.
Don't want to hear again how he froze the salaries of the Pentagon janitors.
Funny okay? you should say that, Charlie.
I don't think it does anybody any good when public employees are denigrated or vilified or their rights are infringed upon.
After he made sure the Republican governors knew that he froze the salaries of the Pentagon janitors?
Well, what does that have to do with what my point is, that he has spoken out. Look at there, he's hanging himself. Look at the polls. Somebody wrote a great piece on this on Daily Coast yesterday. Governor Walker is hanging himself.
Well, no, there's no question that he's doing
that. Well, why does the president need to, you know what I mean?
It's like, this is about more than Wisconsin.
Yeah.
This is a national fight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't mean to get all Ed Schultz on you, but this is a national fight,
yeah.
and it has a lot more to do than public employees. It has to do with the kind of democracy you're going to have.
Yeah.
Right.
And that to me is one he can get into. No, I don't think he should go to Madison because I think this thing as a grassroots rebellion is selling wonderfully.
Right.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
You've got 60-year-old home experts out there knitting.
We just had Larry Corbin saying he's...
I mean, how great is that? You've got people yelling, oh, there's union thugs outside the building, and it's, you know, grandma with her knitting.
Yeah. And kids. Yeah.
Wait a minute, she's knitting a blackjack.
But no, I mean, that's...
With those long needles.
That's what Larry Corbin, you know, told us last hour. I mean, I think Obama is handling Libya. I think you're absolutely right. It's like when people are doing it for themselves, you know, I think there is something to be said for...
No, I agree with that in the narrow focus of Wisconsin, but I think there's a bigger issue. There's a bigger fight mm-hmm. going on. And that is, you know, how far amok are we going to let corporate power run within
right.
the democracy?
And
yeah.
we need more Elizabeth Warrens.
And that's something he can address. That's something he should address.
We need more Elizabeth Warrens and fewer Jeff Immelts.
Because you've got a pet Congress and a bought and paid for Supreme Court. He's the only institution of government left.
Right.
Yeah.
To take up that cause. So what I want him to do is I don't want him to mention that, you know, he agrees that we all have to make sacrifices. You can argue this is not a spending problem. This is a revenue problem.
When he says you all, he means all of you different unions, none of my rich friends. Mitch McConnell on the what's going on in Washington.
Oh, Democrats have an opportunity this week to show they get it. They have an opportunity to show that the status quo on spending and debt is no longer an option.
So how is this showdown going to play out in Washington?
Oh, I don't have, you know, it looks like they're going to temporize for a little bit. I don't think your favorite Speaker of the House has control of his caucus yet. I think they're going to shut the thing down.
Hmm.
And Do you really?
Oh yeah.
Still predicting? Wow. I mean, that's what I keep saying. Do they keep saying we don't want to shut down just so they don't get the blame when it happens?
That's exactly why they're saying it.
Interesting to see if they do. I mean, because it, I don't know, but maybe I'm just a complete pessimist here. I think the notion that it's not their fault is selling better now than it did when Gingrich did it.
Take a listen to Nancy Pelosi. Tell me if this is going to play in the debate or not.
Economist Mark Zandi found that the Republican spending cuts will destroy 700,000 jobs.
At least we finally know where the jobs are, John Boehner.
Well, not only that, but they're coming out now and essentially, I mean, Mitch Daniels said this over the weekend, essentially saying, so what?
Yeah, well, so be it. The same, yeah. Another
wow.
version of
and
so be it.
By the way, where was all? I mean, this is an obvious point, but it needs to keep being made. Where was all this concern over the debt in 2004?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
2005? Where was all this hand wringing?
Yeah.
About shackling our children with the chains of the chains of the bondage of debt or whatever the hell they're talking about now.
Yeah.
Two
and,
words.
And,
9/11.
But in this.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But,
well, that you know what? You're right.
But
you
that's why.
You know, if I ask you, like, who's going to win the American League East this year, and you say 9/11, you're right. That's exactly the way it works.
Yeah.
But, you know, but that's what's so critical, I think, you know, is you're absolutely right, is they ran on jobs. That is the number one thing. And, you know, this, you're absolutely right, is that's like a trumped-up Republican talking point, that people care about the deficit. They don't. They care about jobs.
People care about the deficit as a shorthand issue for everything they really care about in the economy.
Mm.
Right.
Basically, it's shorthand for my pension is gone, my retirement is gone, my house is being foreclosed, you know, my job is now in Quangjing or someplace. that's what the deficit means to most people. It certainly doesn't mean the effect on bond ratings.
Now, Gaddafi's meltdown or Charlie Sheen's, which do you find more compelling?
Well, it's interesting because I believe there was exactly the same amount of coverage on CNN this morning of both of them.
You're right.
Sadly, yes.
And you know, it's hard for me to be objective because I am, as you know, a Vatican assassin.
Yeah.
And have been since fourth grade when the Sisters of St. Joseph trained me to be a Vatican assassin.
Don't you feel like the same that same kind of spidey sense you felt with like Anna Nicole Smith or somebody, just like, oh, somebody put the camera
well.
Down
except,
and help
except,
him.
Except
like
one of them has conventional and biological weapons.
Oh, yeah. We're back to Gaddafi.
Well, Charlie
okay.
has biological weapons, but that's a whole different thing.
Yeah, chemical weapons, exactly.
His delivery systems are different, if you know what I mean, and I think you do.
But, I mean, this is the thing, right, with the media is you go, they can't help themselves. It's like catnip, and where is it, Chris? Somebody's giving them another hour or something, aren't they, ABC?
Yeah, 2020.
I mean, yeah, it's just...
Chuck Todd and Savannah, what's her name this morning, were running the Charlie Sheen interview.
Yeah.
What the relevance that has to the daily rundown on politics, I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's
except that Charlie Sheen's father used to be president on TV.
Yeah.
That's the only thing it reminds me. I wish we had that guy as president. All right. Charlie Sheen, Charlie Pierce. That was completely wrong.
Duh, winning.
I don't know.
That may be my new catchphrase, by the way. Whenever I've taken a position that I can't really defend, yeah, I'm going to just end it with "duh, winning." Yeah. Wait till I run for the Senate against Scott Brown. You're going to love that. Duh, winning.
Are you on a drug? Is it called Charlie Sheen?
Sorry. All right.
Meanwhile, Emilio Estevez is across the room going, God, I'm glad I changed my name.
Yeah.
Jesus, am I glad I changed my name.
All right.
Actually,
Charlie's
the one who changed his name.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Because
that's right.
His real name is Estevez. Carlos Estevez. Yeah.
Yeah. See, yes. This is what happens when I go wandering into Hollywood land while Chris Lavoie is there and I know nothing about what I'm talking about.
It's Charlie Pierce we've just been talking to. Charlie Pierce of the Boston Globe. We'll see you next week, honey. Thank you.
Winning.
I can't believe I blurted that out. All right, 45 minutes after the hour. Right back with Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Trying to do a little research during the break so I didn't get another movie reference wrong. Well, Kim in Seattle writes, Steph, I have a dream in my mind to protect that someone will put up a recall countdown clock in Madison. It'll be fun to count down the days until they can recall Governor Walker. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking of that clock in Back to the Future in the...
Yeah, but that clock didn't count anything down. It was stuck at that one time.
See why it's a good thing that I did that before the break so that I didn't embarrass myself by comparing it to the clock in Back to the Future.
Jim walked back into the room, and I'm explaining the plot of Back to the Future to you. And he's like,
wow.
What the hell's going on here?
Struck by lightning, and they needed that much power. Whatever. I just wanted to see.
How many gigawatts was it?
I don't remember. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Gigawatts? Whatever.
Gigawatts?
Yeah. I actually was a tour guide at Universal Studios where they were filming that.
Yes.
And on the call sheet, initially it said Eric Stoltz in the lead role.
That's right.
And then suddenly they stopped production.
1.21 gigawatts. Thank you, Chad.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah.
What a bunch of geeks. Okay. I love you, chat room. All right. Let's dive into the Right Wing World, see what's doing, shall we, kids? Here we go. Oh, I see. Neil Cavuto comparing the protesters in Wisconsin to Charlie Sheen.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
What is the difference between Charlie cooped up in a hotel suite and these guys in a not-so-sweet capital?
Yeah.
Well, one is blowing his own money and doesn't really see it. The others are blowing our money and won't admit it. So the actor justifies bad behavior with still more bad behavior. The actors, bad spending with still more bad spending.
Yeah, wow. You should explain how that works, actually, how they're spending our money.
He does sound like Marvin the Martian, doesn't he?
I hate being disintegrated by union workers.
Wow.
Wisconsin for Mars.
They block his view of Venus.
Wow, that was the worst analogy ever. Yeah, that's what they're doing. They're just blowing all our money. Freeloaders.
What a load of crap.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep, they're just snorting our taxpayer money like Charlie Sheen snorts a blow off a hooker's ass. You know what I'm saying?
No, all the money is going to the super rich.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, yeah, I think we know who the co-core is. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, Governor Walker. Glenn, back on the radio here.
We haven't talked yet about the police in Wisconsin who are now throwing in with the socialists and the teachers. I mean, some of the teachers, some of the people that are there really are just useful idiots. They don't know what's really going on.
Oh.
No, you're talking about your...
Yeah.
viewership.
Yeah, that's how you get a bigger protest than during the Vietnam War, because they don't have any idea why they're there.
The cops are throwing in their lot with the socialists.
And the Islamic Brotherhood.
It's
and the
almost
rest of the
as
caliphate.
If they belong to a union. Oh, wait, they do.
Glenn
oh,
Beck,
my God!
Glenn Beck knows from idiots.
Hey!
What?
What a segue. Here's Brian Kilmeade.
Oh, God.
Right. If union bargaining is breaking the public piggy bank, should it be abolished altogether?
Oh,
is that the next move?
Ah, uh-huh. Yeah, that's what it is. That's what's breaking the public piggy bank.
How about cutting your ridiculous salary, you useless twit?
And he's a union member, Brian
yeah.
Kilmeade. He's benefited from collective bargaining.
Gretchen Carlson on the Fox and Friends.
The mainstream media, known to make up stories about Tea Party violence, some people make those accusations. Well, now, covering up, are they covering up real threats from union members in Wisconsin?
Oh! Yes.
And what's your evidence?
All those peaceful pictures you see, that's just they're covering up the...
Well, there was that one Fox News reporter that was tapped on the shoulder.
Oh, exactly.
He said, I've been hit! I've been hit!
You know what that... We played that clip, and he literally was like a kid in the back seat going, Mom, he's touching me! It was that. It was like someone touched him.
You know what? Mike Tobin is that reporter's name. He's a graduate of Arizona State University's journalism school, as am I. Mm. They taught us to be a little tougher than that.
You're touching me! There's no
Stop touching me!
There's no touching in journalism.
Ew, the icky liberals touch me.
They're on my side of the camera. Mom!
Glenn Beck on the TV.
The price of gas has gone up since we last met last Monday, 17 cents a gallon. But because the Middle East is on fire and the dollar is being devalued, oh, and we're not drilling in the Gulf.
Oh, come on.
It's bound to go even higher.
Oh.
And if Saudi Arabia collapses, we have real trouble.
Oh.
The world is changing. This isn't a game. It's all chips are on the table.
Which is why we should have more advanced technology than the 19th century internal combustion engine.
Wow.
And you know that diesels were meant to run on vegetable oil initially? But
really?
The oil companies decided, oh, no, that's not going to happen.
That's not never going to work.
In fact, diesel engines are easily modifiable to run on vegetable oil. And those cars tend to smell like... Fries.
French fries. Yeah.
They do.
Okay.
They smell like umami burgers.
Yeah.
I had one this weekend. I finally had one.
Wow.
And you didn't care for it.
I was one of all that.
What?
It's no In-N-Out. It's no Shake Shack, in my opinion.
No.
I don't know. All right. Walter Williams in for Limbaugh.
It's almost sometimes I think of it as a conspiracy to dumb down the Americans Congress can take on... take on measures that otherwise could not take on unless the American people were dumbed down.
What is he talking about?
I don't know. I do know one thing, and that is Rush has really sucky fill-ins.
How come we haven't taken a page from that?
By the way, I got a hate letter from someone called Mr. Nobody. Is his handle?
Oh.
He said, don't embarrass yourself when you badmouth other radio hosts. Oh, and he means Mark Levin and Laura Ingraham, I think.
Oh, okay.
Who beat you so badly in the ratings. It makes you look like the fool. Chris, would you like to explain the fun facts on that or no? He probably knows that because I guess Mark Levin said that.
Right.
Didn't it actually get published in an actual, I don't even know what... Where did we read it? Last week. There's actual radio professionals going on the record now saying, you have to take Mark Levin if you want Sean Kennedy.
Absolutely.
I love how they make him seem like some big success because he's on.
It's like a package deal.
Yeah, they shove him down radio stations' throats, and it's like, right. Okay.
Right. That sounds like socialism.
Okay.
There is a car dealership north of Santa Barbara where they called themselves the home of Mr. Nobody.
Oh,
I wonder if that's that guy.
Really?
Probably not.
Really? Jim in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jim. Hello, Jim.
You are the talk show goddess.
Thank
it's an honor to be on your show.
Thank you.
Hey, this concept with the GOP and the Tea Party about trying to bankrupt the middle class and lower class, here's what I don't understand. Whether you have an insurance company, say you're higher up in the financial categories in the U.S., what they call a 4%, say, Stephanie, you own 6 fast food franchises. I own 10 tire stores. Now, if I'm going to lessen the earnings out there for the average Joe, they're going to come less to my shop in your restaurant, spend less money. We're going to lay people off. Less taxes are going to go in the treasury. How does that concept work at all? To me, it's like suicide. It's idiotic. It's not going to work in the long run. And as far as like these stories I've heard about, well, certain wealthy people have been digging tunnels in ground, and you know, have a certain pass, and you know, they're going to protect the food, the farmland. What do you do? Put tanks out there to keep people from coming out and grabbing food once people start rioting? If you get everything taken away from you and you've got nothing left, you're going to tell me we're not going to have rioting in this country? I think these people better wake up and see what they're doing. I think they're all crazy.
Yeah.
Well, yes.
All right. Thanks for paying attention. All right. Let's real quick go to Mary in San Francisco. Hi, Mayor.
Hi.
Hey.
I just wanted to say that the earlier caller that was talking about how it's been the last 20 years since Reagan started deregulating and so forth has just been a collection of collecting money around a narrow group, and from the, it's basically a money shift. That's actually a side effect of the real thing, which is actually the elimination of the middle class.
Yep, yep. Spot on. 58 minutes after the hour, we're right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, I am slowly losing the reason to live.
Why?
Frank Rich is leaving the New York Times.
Yep.
Wow.
Oh, he's going to the New Yorker, but still. That's my Sunday snuggle. I spoon with him and David Gregory. Now what?
Well, now you're going to have to get a subscription to the New Yorker now, aren't you?
All right, StephanieMiller.com. I have a fake Facebook page and a fake Twitter account as well.
No, you have. They both of yours are real.
That was a little Sarah Palin joke.
Yes.
Okay. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Representative John Yarmuth of the great state of Kentucky, one of our personal favorites, joins us now. Good morning, Congressman. Oops.
That's a big hole to fill on that page in the New York Times.
I know it.
You could do it.
Yeah, right. So, Congressman, where do we start? Washington or Wisconsin? A lot of parallel stories going on, huh?
Yeah, it's truly amazing. And I think one of the exciting things for me, and believe me, life in the minority means there are not a lot of exciting things for me.
Right.
In the House, but is that we're really seeing the battle lines drawn very clearly, and with Wisconsin and what we're dealing with the budget alternatives and in Congress. I think the American people ought to have a pretty good picture now of what we're dealing with and what's at stake and what our choices are. And I think that's good for those of us who believe that it's about time we made this country and its economy work for everybody and not just a very few.
Now, one of your Tea Party friends, Representative Alan West, don't laugh, said this yesterday.
Alan West and the Tea Party members, or Tea Party freshmen, if you want to call them that, are not talking about shutting down the government. We're talking about what's best for the economic future of the United States of America.
They keep saying that, Congressman, but do they mean it? I mean, you know, they've got an awfully active base that keeps telling them not to compromise on anything, like Governor Walker in Wisconsin, right?
Exactly right. And then that's so disingenuous, because everything they say and have said now for a year and a half, the Tea Party people I'm talking about, is that they don't trust government to do anything. They don't believe in government. So,
Why not shut it down?
They're just here to shut it down and to essentially vindicate their philosophy. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy if you eliminate the ability of government to do what it should do, like regulate public health and safety and things like that.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you heard this, but, you know, Governor Tim Pawlenty, who's obviously rumored to be running for president, he was at a Tea Party thing in Phoenix. He declared shutting down the government is an option I think Republicans have to consider. He said the current shutdown showdown was a line in the sand moment, the likes of which we need. He called for a shutdown lasting a month or longer, a dramatic month, as he termed it, in order to force Congress to make tough decisions. That'd be dramatic, all right, wouldn't it?
Well, it sure would, and it would be awfully painful for a lot of people too, and it would be disastrous for the economy. I mean, just we've had a number of reports recently. Mark Zandi said that this bill, or the Republican option, was cut down, would eliminate 700,000 jobs. Goldman Sachs said it would reduce GDP by 1.5 to 2 percentage points over the last
two quarters of the year, and 300 economists said this would be very, very destructive to jobs. So, yeah, it would have a very significant impact, both what they're planning to cut and shutting the government down. Shutting the government down is just so irresponsible and reckless. Particularly when you're willing to shut it down over such a small percentage of the problem.
Right.
I mean, this is not, we're dealing with basically grains of sand in the beach of the deficit. And,
yeah.
That just, you know, to shut the government down over that.
Right. I mean, but it's all the same when you look at it. I mean, Governor Scott Walker has been, you know, completely unmasked, I think, in this whole thing going on in Wisconsin, and yet he absolutely refuses to be. And I was just saying, there's a New York Times CBS poll out. You know, Americans 2-1 support the workers. And do not think it's fair what he's doing, and yet it doesn't seem, like you say, it doesn't seem like anything affects them, you know, just going forward with what they want to do.
Well, exactly right, and to their credit, if you can give anything of the credit, a lot of them, I think, are here just to do that, and they don't care whether they're defeated two years from now.
Right.
And when you have that kind of, you know, it's almost political suicide instinct, then that makes it tough to negotiate. Everybody said, asked me at home, how are things in Washington? I said, well, the tone's actually a little bit better, but philosophically, the polarization's far greater than it was.
Yeah.
Of these new members who basically are so reckless they don't care.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's exactly what I'm afraid of, is that, I mean, for instance, I think you mentioned this report that this came out. John McCain's former economist says that, you know, the GOP's plan to cut spending would cost 700,000 jobs. It seems like they don't really care about that information, or it won't affect the debate at all.
You know, they are essentially political religious fanatics.
Right.
They are. I mean, this is a religious war for them. And with the same type of fervor and the same type of blind belief that you get in actual religious wars. And when you're afflicted with that kind of blindness, then it becomes a very dangerous thing if you have power. And unfortunately, these 87 new members on the Republican side in the House, and, you know, my colleague from Kentucky, Rand Paul, in the Senate, these are people who, again, believe so fervently that if you know, this is the Oak Grover Norquist, shrink government to the size when you can wash down the drain. And
yeah,
that's what they're intent on doing.
Well, but
the government represents 25% of the economy. The federal government does. I mean, it would be disastrous for the economy.
But I think, you know, this proves the president's case exactly, doesn't it? That the recovery is still too fragile to be cutting like this. It's going to affect the economy. It's going to affect jobs.
Well, of course. And then if you add on top of all of this calculation the rise in gas prices, if gasoline stays up at over $3 and approaches $4 a gallon, I mean, that takes a lot of money out of the consuming public's pocketbook. It is like an additional tax on them, on the people who afford it. And what it will do is raise the cost of living adjustment to Social Security, which puts that in even greater difficulties. When you had, you know, the last time gas spiked to 4%, they got the COLA was 5.8%. Well, you add that to the long-term obligation of Social Security just because of gas prices. You've got a lot of things that threaten the economy right now, and you can't afford to take this additional money out of the economy.
Yep, absolutely. Well, Congressman, we appreciate you fighting the good fight and always taking time to update us on what's going on. Thanks so much.
Always a pleasure.
All right, there he goes, Representative John Yarmuth, the great state. Speaking of great things from Kentucky, Hump Days with Hal Sparks tomorrow.
That's right.
See how I did that?
Wow.
And David Schuster joins us. Don't forget. All right, let's listen. We need to. I need a whole block, Chris. I need a whole segment to update us on Charlie Sheen because there's been a lot.
There should be like a 24-hour Sheen.
Well, he was on for 24 hours yesterday,
what
and it
the
continues
hell
today.
Is going on. So here's the good news, Jim. Because you've been talking about this. The crew is going to be paid for the episodes of Two and a Half Men.
Oh, good.
Yeah. But you know, the problem is it clearly doesn't look like it's. Well, actually, there's a rumor. Did you hear that rumor? Maybe John Stamos is going to that. He's saying no.
Hmm.
But that they may replace him.
Hmm.
So let's see. His lawyer filed a lawsuit. He demanded $16 million in revenue that Sheen would personally lose from the canceled episodes, and that seems to be a separate from the $320 million mental anguish lawsuit that that I guess he says they've caused.
Right.
So, Sheen, I love this, that Sheen would come to TMZ.com with the lawsuit makes sense. Earlier, he spent close to an hour in conversation. That didn't go well, I'm told. With them, elaborating on his winning philosophy and introducing to the world to the goddesses who are apparently helping him raise his children. Are those the hooker porn stars? Or
something.
That he's living? Okay.
Yeah.
The interview didn't exactly show Sheen at his best, to put it mildly. In fact, it was such a disaster, his publicist quit, I believe, right after. Was it right after that? Yeah.
Well, in keeping with the Dick York, Dick Sargent phenomenon, it should be a guy named Dick to replace him, I think. Or someone who is.
Now he's doing an hour on 2020. When is that going to be?
I believe it's tonight.
Oh, boy. Okay. Charlie Sheen says his only fault is living a life that you're all jealous of. Oh, boy. He also warned those who criticize him that they should be ready. They should ready their apologies because he intends to win this war. He added, I don't have burnout in my gearbox. I just have go, and I'm ready to go. I'm insulted and I'm confused. Yeah. You guys want to go or let's go to war? When I call winner, game over. Game over, man. I hope you all have your apologies ready.
I think that's the Met talking.
Oh boy.
Although he
broke the golden rule of Hollywood. He admitted that his publicist lied, which is that's their job in Hollywood. You're dehydrated and exhausted, and you have an allergy or whatever.
And the publicist skedaddled right out of there.
Yeah.
It was swamp gas.
He confessed during the TMZ interview that his publicist lied for him during the whole locked up with a hooker scandal by saying he was suffering from allergies. Allergies that particular time. And then it was a little stomach upset of some kind, as I recall, the time he was...
Allergies do make one sniff.
Yes, he is very sniffly. Apparently.
Sure.
Some sort of post-nasal drip. Okay. Wow. You know what? Here's good news for Christina Aguilera. Maybe she can have Charlie Sheen's publicist now, since he's available.
What does she do now?
She was arrested in Hollywood with her boyfriend.
Oh, dear.
I didn't realize there was anything wrong with this, but they were arrested on suspicion of being drunk in a car that was stopped on the street. Like, couldn't you just...
Wouldn't it be better to be drunk in a car that's stopped than to be drunk in a car that's...
You could say we're
moving.
Just here till we sober up. I don't know what... the sheriff's deputy said Aguilera was a passenger. Her boyfriend was booked on suspicion of driving under the influence. Aguilera appeared to be extremely intoxicated and unable to look after her own welfare, according to the sheriff's deputy. She was being held at the West Hollywood Sheriff's Station for her own protection and is expected to be released without facing charges. Calls to her agent and publicist not returned because they're furiously trying to come
spin
up
it.
With the... Yeah. Well, to give the allergies, that we use that for Charlie Sheen. How about...
Exhaustion.
Yeah.
Ambien.
She was exhausted. That's why she was passed out.
Oh, boy. All right.
Well, she's tiny. You know, she could...
She's not getting any tinier, if you know what I mean.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Meow. All right. 18 minutes after the hour. Right back with more celebrity stacks.
Well, at least she goes to the right places.
Yes. Oh, boy. All right, Squeezy. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God. That's kind of hot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
She was in very squeezy mode this morning.
Why?
Hey, attention to the squeezy McField pants. Cameron Diaz loves watching porn. She just wants you to know.
I've heard that. Mm-hmm. Wow.
My, oh, my.
Ooh,
all right.
Of course, hotel porn is pretty lame.
I'm told. You know this from experience?
I watched porn by accident the other night. I didn't know I had one of those channels. I was having an insomnia bout. I was flipping around. I was like, oh, my God.
Do you have Cinemax or something?
I don't know.
Like Skinemax at night?
It was lame.
Oh, well, it must be Skinemax then. I mean, Camille Grammer did Skinemax. She did.
Oh, even with her...
Does that come and scratch and sniff?
Oh, stop it.
All right. Actor and activist Danny Glover has urged labor union members protesting at the Indiana State House to stand in solidarity against what he called an organized campaign attacking American workers.
Yay! He said stand in solidarity.
And he's worked with Mel Gibson, so listen, he knows from...
I'm too old for this bleep.
Exactly. James Franco apparently didn't go to his own party after...
I think he knew the writing was
the
on the wall.
The Oscars. Yeah,
it did kind of look like he checked out, like, midway through the ceremony.
Joe Scarborough couldn't get off. He's like, was he high? Was he high? What was he on? I don't know.
Well, James Franco says he doesn't do drugs anymore, so...
I don't know. Yeah. He bailed out on his own after party. He got on a New York plane.
Yeah.
He did bye-bye and went bye-bye.
All right. Take care now. Bye-bye, then.
I thought Anne Hathaway was great.
Yeah, she was awesome. I'd love to see her host
by herself. She was good. I don't
know
what all the whatever was about.
She'd be great with Hugh Jackman.
Oh, and Melissa Leo is sorry for the, thing. Mm. She apologizes.
Mm. That was a big effing deal.
Yeah, it was.
It was a big deal. I kind of like a little spontaneous profanity. I don't know about you. That makes it seem more real. It's like, oh.
And that is called what syndrome?
Turrets.
No!
I know, I said it wrong on purpose. It's Tourette's.
Yes.
Okay. Oh,
you had the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. All right.
When you have gun emplacements appearing spontaneously on your body.
And finally, who's my favorite in the celebrity stack?
Who?
Prince von Anhalt.
Von Anhalt?
He's just...
Yeah, but the way he's treating Zsa Zsa is just awful.
I don't... Well, how do you know what's happening? He's... He always has one wacky story after another.
He's made up stories before.
Well, you mean the time he was found naked chained to his steering wheel on the 405?
Yeah.
Zsa Zsa Gabor's husband says he chased off two intruders with a baseball bat after catching them burglarizing the couple's Bel Air mansion in the middle of the night. Mm. He says he awakened at 3 a.m. Sunday and discovered two men in his living room. He says they took off on foot. He pursued them down the block. I don't know why I don't quite buy this. He said he fell while he was chasing them and injured his hip.
Hmm.
All right.
There's something screwy about that.
There's something screwy about everything Prince von Anhalt does.
I love the thing where he put the house on the market, but he says that Zsa Zsa had, that they still get to live there.
Until she dies.
Yes. I just think that may be, that even a really good realtor may have a tough time with that sell.
Yeah.
It's just, by the way, there's a one-legged Zsa Zsa in the back bedroom. Is that okay? He said, we just need the one room. You'll barely even notice us here.
There's no way you could stage that house.
Okay. Wow. All right. That concludes a very an odd little celebrity stack, if you don't mind my saying
that
so.
That was a little weird.
It was a little weird. All right. Ethan in Madison with an update. Hi, Ethan.
Hey, Steph.
Hi.
So as listeners and you folks there in the studio may or may not know, Scott Walker, our lovely governor from Wisconsin, is using the Capitol Police to block additional protesters from coming into the building for the second straight day under the pretense that it needs cleaning. What you probably don't know, because it just happened within the last hour, to my understanding, is that a Dane County court has ruled, has issued a temporary restraining order to reopen the Capitol to the public.
Oh, wow.
Now, don't know exactly what's going to happen with this, but, it's just a good indication that the wheels are turning on the other side. So, there's a website for Wisconsin Circuit Court you can go to and check that out. But, again, that just happened.
Yeah, it seems like another, heavy-handed move to me. I'm like, isn't that the people's house, the Capitol?
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly. And the pretense that they're shutting people out of it to clean it, I have a feeling, given that these protesters who've been staying there night after night after night are diligent Americans, I think they'd probably be willing to do it for free.
Yeah,
that could save some more taxpayers' money. You know what I'm saying?
I think what the governor said, actually, Jim, is that it's the Madison Christmas tree is in there, and there's a light on that tree.
My sweet
take that out.
Little tot, the fake Santa Claus lied. There's a light on this tree that won't light on one side.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm taking it home to my workshop.
To clean it.
Sure.
And fix the light.
I'll fix it up there.
And
I'll bring it back here.
Karen in Madison. Hi, Karen. Hi, Karen. Hello, Karen.
Oh.
Karen in Madison, I can hear you breathing. All right, then, fine. Julie in Tacoma, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Jules.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
In the celebrity stack,
yes.
You forgot a couple there. There was the Dancing with the Stars.
Right,
yes.
That was announced this morning.
Yes, I think Jim was saying they're redefining the word star, I think.
You got aced out. Who's this talk show host, Wendy Williams?
Wendy Williams beat me out, damn it.
And Loveline radio show co-host, Mike. Catherwood?
Somebody, for the love
of God.
Why didn't my people... Oh, that's right, I don't have people. That's why I didn't...
But you can't dance.
No.
Well, neither can
any of them.
Neither can Kirstie Alley.
Oh, wow. Oh, boy.
All right.
You elephant.
Yeah, who else is on? I forget.
Some NFL player. Oh, Ralph Macchio.
Oh, Karate Kid?
Karate mm-hmm. Kid.
That's exciting.
Yeah, Ralph Macchio, 48, it said in the story.
Is he really?
He's really 48.
But he still looks 12.
Yeah.
All right, 29 minutes. Wax on? Wax on.
Wax on.
I never saw that movie.
Maybe he's going to do that dance, just a wax on, wax off dance. 29 minutes after the hour. I actually did the hands for the Ustream. Here
and
you go.
Saw it in the Ustream.
All right. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Oh, Secretary Clinton always interrupting me to talk about Gaddafi.
I know, right?
Talking about important things like Charlie Sheen.
Gaddafi ruled for 42 years by basically destroying all institutions and never even creating an army so that it could not be used against him. So the situation in Libya is so much more challenging than what's happening in Egypt.
That doesn't seem wise to be the leader of a country and not have an army to protect said country because you think it might be used against you.
Well, that's sort of what Stalin did. He killed all his best generals out of fear that they would try to overthrow him, probably with good reason.
That doesn't seem like a wise leader.
Well, yeah.
Seems like a paranoid
that's
crazy.
Why the Germans did as well as they did in the Soviet Union.
Oh, well, okay.
All right. Until Stalingrad.
You're right.
Susan Rice, the UN ambassador.
We await to see how the opposition will coalesce. And in that context, it's certainly premature, I think, to begin to talk about any kind of military assistance.
And always my favorite part, as you know.
Yes.
The drama queen's son, said the crazy dictator.
Saif.
Support and arms are on the way. Everything is fine. We are going to be victorious.
He's filling the role of Baghdad Bob.
Yeah, yes.
And the drama queen's son in this particular international crisis.
There are no bombs.
What? No.
No.
It was standard. On the way.
The Americans are not around the corner.
They are nowhere near Baghdad. They are northwest, south, and east of here.
Victory is ours. Karen in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Karen.
I apologize. I put the phone down for 1 minute.
How dare you? All right, go ahead.
I know. I scrambled for it, couldn't find it. I wanted to, first of all, agree with your earlier callers and then Charlie Pierce regarding how they have figured out that our debt actually has a long history to it.
Right.
And in a nutshell, it's state debt coming from the national debt coming from the Republican presidents. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to read from an article that Rosenberg had written in 2010, just a couple sentences.
Okay. I was going to say very short.
Okay. Basically, he says that the debt explosion has not resulted from big spending by Democrats, but instead Republicans' parties embrace about three decades ago of the insidious doctrine that deficits don't matter if they result from tax cuts.
Yep.
Does that not sound familiar?
Yeah, absolutely. All right. What's with the reading this morning? Didn't someone read the Gettysburg Address earlier?
Weren't we just
what
making...
is this, the Mark Levin show?
Yeah, weren't we just making fun of Mark Levin for doing that exact same thing?
No, you cannot read anything. All right.
Here's an article in the New York Times telling us why that's not so.
Wait a minute.
Hey!
All right. Jim, yes. Here's something I would like to read, though. The Anonymous?
Oh, God.
The online activist group Anonymous?
Yes.
They have turned their firepower on the Koch-backed conservative group Americans for Prosperity, making the group's site intermittently unavailable.
That's right.
They wrote, "It's come to our attention the brothers David and Charles Koch, the billionaire owners of Koch Industries, have long attempted to usurp American democracy. Their actions to undermine the legitimate political process in Wisconsin are the final straw. Starting today, we fight back." Anonymous cannot ignore the plight of the citizen workers of Wisconsin or the opportunity to fight for the people in America's broken political system. For these reasons, we feel the Koch brothers threaten the United States democratic system and, by extension, all freedom-loving individuals everywhere. As such, we have no choice but to spread the word of the Koch brothers' political manipulation, their single-minded intent, and insidious truth of their actions in Wisconsin for all to witness. Ha-ha! Internet pranksters and phone pranksters.
Yes, that's right.
We'll save this republic, my friends. All right. Wow. So Clarence Thomas finally talked, huh? He hasn't talked in the Supreme Court in years. Now he's all chatty, like his drunken wife in the morning. Oh, sorry.
Allegedly.
That's alleged.
You need to apologize to me for what you did.
I apologize. I have no evidence that she was actually drunk. I'm just saying it is unusual to call someone you don't know to ask for an apology several years later.
At 7 in the morning.
on a Saturday at their office.
It is somewhat unique.
Yes.
Okay. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, his impartiality under attack. Yeah.
Kinda.
Yeah. Because of his attendance at a meeting of conservative donors sponsored by, there they are again, the Koch brothers.
Huh.
And his wife's Tea Party activism. And drunk dialing.
Mm-hmm.
Allegedly struck a defiant tone in a Saturday night speech telling a friendly audience he and his wife believe in the same things and are focused on defending liberty.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, that's not the issue exactly. He also lashed out at critics without naming them, asserting that they seem bent on undermining the high court as an institution. No, you seem bent on destroying the high court as an institution with your conflicts of interest. And your drunk dialing wife.
And your inability to form any opinions of any kind.
Yes, that aren't Scalia's.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. Such criticism, Thomas warned, could erode the ability of American citizens to fend off threats to their way of life. Oh, I see. So criticizing him and his impartiality is going to take away your liberty.
Mm-hmm.
Did we somehow lose our First Amendment rights? I don't remember.
We thought Charlie Sheen was a megalomaniac.
Yeah. He said, you are all going to be, unfortunately, the recipients of the fallout from that, and there's going to be a day when you need these institutions to be credible and to be fully functioning to protect your liberties.
Okay.
Well, then.
So you aren't allowed to criticize the Supreme Court justice, I guess, because,
because it's mean? Because it undermines the institution? What?
Critics have argued his attendance at a speech that was the 2008 gathering of major conservative donors sponsored by, there they are again, the Koch brothers.
Of course.
In Palm Springs. And his wife's political activism have compromised his position on the court. The Common Cause wrote a letter to the Justice Department saying his connection to conservative donors may have been grounds for him to recuse himself, do you think, from the Citizens United ruling. Thomas, oddly, Jim, of course, sided with the conservative majority, if you'll recall. I know that may shock you.
Shocking.
At conferences like the one in Palm Springs, the Koch brothers and their operatives have raised millions of dollars for groups that air just those kind of ads that Citizens United now allows. Thomas's expenses for the conference were paid by the Federalist Society. The Koch brothers, there they are again, have contributed hundreds of thousands of dollars to that society.
So they should just be on the Supreme Court. You know, cut out the middleman.
Yeah. Jenny Thomas founded Liberty Central, which she had to step down from after the
unpleasant
incident. Apologize to me for what you did. Coke can my ass.
Politico,
well, this is David Coke.
Yeah. Politico reported the group received $550,000 infusion from two anonymous contributions while the Supreme Court was deliberating the Citizens United case.
Who could those be?
I wonder. Last month, Thomas had to amend 13 years' worth of financial disclosure reports to indicate the sources, though not the amounts, of his wife's income after the questions were raised about that omission of the information. Who else would be able to do this and get away with it?
If a liberal did this, Fox News would be going with this 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
More recently, the Thomases were criticized after Politico revealed Ginny Thomas had started a lobbying group that builds itself as, quote, using her experience and connections, who could she mean, to help clients, quote, with governmental affairs efforts and political donation strategies. Earlier this month, 74 House Democrats signed a letter asking Thomas to recuse himself from any cases related to last year's health care bill because of his wife's lobbying. They said, from what we've already seen, the line between your impartiality and you and your wife's financial stake in the overturn of health care reform is blurred.
You know, go ahead and recuse yourself from everything.
Yeah,
you know,
just
go on vacation.
You know, it strikes me that Clarence Thomas was an extraordinarily bad choice
yeah.
for the Supreme Court.
Well, that was the whole point of the, quote, high-tech lynching. so that Republicans can say, look, the Democrats are the racists. Mm-hmm. They're not letting this black man be Supreme Court justice.
Right, that's their whole thing, personal responsibility. He is so whiny.
He's just always
the victim. Always the victim. You know, it's those are legitimate conflict of interest concerns on the nation's highest court.
Yep.
It really is. Yes, that was very kind of the understatement of the year, Captain Understatement. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like he was the best choice.
Hmm. Oh. I'm getting to be good at those.
I mentioned this earlier, but Sarah Palin has a fake Facebook page, which mostly exists to like her Facebook page?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
She also has a fake Twitter account so she can follow herself on Twitter.
What?
Do we like oneself somewhat?
Why would one do that? That seems a little circular to me.
I don't really... Do we understand anything she does or says?
You don't understand Twitter, so yeah, let's just start there.
She has a private Twitter. It's McKinley777 after America's Tallest Mountain and God's Favorite Numbers, except she spelled McKinley wrong.
Yeah, she did.
Uh-huh. Wow. She never used the account to tweet anything. She did use it to follow the three most important things in her life: herself, the Drudge Report, and Newt Gingrich. Oh, my goodness. We think highly of ourselves, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Mm. Guess who doesn't? People in Iowa. Oh, dear. A newly released poll from the Des Moines Register suggests she's still liked by many Republican voters in the state, but not to the degree that she once was. Her favorability rating has slipped 6 points in the last year and a half among likely GOP caucus goers in the state. That's the first state, you know, where they go.
That's right.
Check this out, though. Her favorability rating is still at 65%, down from 71%. So I think there's still a chance you should go with her, Iowa. I think...
She might actually win one state.
Yeah, Iowa, hook yourself to that train.
go ahead. All right. Ken, my right-wing love muffin in Pennsylvania. Hi, Ken.
Hi, Stephanie. I have some questions for you real quick.
Okie dokie.
Should the Democratic Party be able to make commercials during the campaign season?
Mm-hmm. This seems clever, wherever you're going with this.
This doesn't seem leading at all.
Well, the logic will become very apparent real quick. Okay.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So is the Democratic Party an individual?
No, it's not.
I'll just answer it for you for time.
Okay,
sake.
Yeah, just
no,
for time's sake. Good.
Individual.
Are you running into a heartbreak?
Corporations are not individuals either, but they still have a right to speak their minds.
Corporations don't have a mind.
Does the Democratic Party have a mind?
But you're comparing apples to kumquats. You're not.
Yeah.
Okay. Why is the Democratic Party able to make commercials?
Right, the Republican Party can make commercials too. Yes, exactly.
Right,
that is nothing.
Right, they can make commercials too.
Yes.
Why is that?
Okay.
That doesn't mean that the entire party is a citizen.
Okay, see, you're missing the concept.
I see. That's,
well,
you know,
maybe
what it
if you explained
you
it a little better.
You just don't grasp the situation, Jim.
Yeah.
Much like the president doesn't understand what's happening in Wisconsin. Dope. Don't even comment on it. All right. I wish I had more time for that, because that seemed like he was...
Corporations aren't...
He was luring me into a clever roadrunner-type trap.
Corporations aren't people. The individuals that make up corporations, those are people.
Yes.
But corporations as a whole are not people.
Okay. All right. 46 minutes. Nice try, though. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What's all that noise?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Don't make, no, it's what you say. Don't please stop explaining. Don't tell me 'cause it hurts. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Vicky in Tucson wants to take a whack at how wrong Ken the right-wing caller was on so many points. Go ahead, Vicky.
Hi. And
hi.
Oh, was he wrong? Okay. The Democratic Party and the Republican Party, they represent people that actually want them to promote their views. So if I'm a Democrat and the party gives money, they're representing me with their views.
Right.
If I work for a corporation that happens to have different views than then they don't necessarily... that's why it's some... Okay, I'm sorry. A little nervous, but...
Yeah, no, I hear you.
So a corporation doesn't necessarily reflect the views of the people that work for
right.
it. So that's
right.
why it's completely different.
Right.
Yes. Thank you. You are the smartest girl in class, even though you were nervous.
Thanks.
Right. Yeah, it represents the views of the multi-billionaire,
yeah,
founders
exactly.
of the corporation.
Yeah, it's for their interests and not the workers.
Right, right,
I mean,
exactly.
the work for them. Yeah, exactly. All right, Republican Governor Chris Christie.
Oh, stop it.
He's kind of a governosaurus. He's not siding with fellow conservatives, rather, who've been stepping up criticism of the First Lady. Hmm. He and Mike Huckabee, because they've had their issues.
With?
Their husky boy issues. And so, God, you have to, God bless them, you got to applaud them when they...
Huckabee's family still has issues.
Who could ever forget that Christmas card? He was on Face the Nation. He alluded to recent remarks by the right, including Rush Limbaugh sailing Michelle Obama's Let's Move anti-childhood obesity campaign. Christie characterized the chatter as unnecessary. He said, I don't want the government deciding what you can eat and what you can't eat. Who said that?
Right.
I hate when they even characterize it like that.
Government's not deciding anything.
I still think that's your choice. Oh, good. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank God Governor Christie gave us back our freedom to eat whatever we want that Michelle Obama had taken away in her nanny state.
That's, again, it's the authoritarian personality view of things.
She's telling me what to do.
No.
I'm not going to be told by some woman that I can...
What? That's not what she said. Okay, never mind.
All right. He said, but I think Mrs. Obama being out there encouraging people in a positive way to eat well and do exercise and be healthy, I don't have a problem with that.
Right.
Christie joins up Mike Huckabee in sticking up for the First Lady's anti-obesity. I just, seriously, it still amazes me what becomes controversial. Just saying, you know, gee, we have an obesity epidemic, we should all, you know,
eat broccoli every once in a while.
People think of a suggestion as coercion, because that's just the way their minds work.
But plus, it's so eighth grade. It's like, oh, even they had the Super Bowl party, and then the king. It's like, what? She never said, like, right. I don't ever. Okay.
You can't tell me I can't have Doritos and Tostitos and at my Super. What? You didn't say that? Okay, never mind.
By the way, this is the other thing on Mark Levin yesterday. They are addressing the issues most important to Americans today.
What's
for
that?
Sure. He knew the calorie counts of the state dinners that they just had at the White House.
Who sits
that they
down
were
and
stuffing 2,000 calories in the because the menu for the dinner was something.
You know what?
What?
The president and the first lady exercise so that they can indulge every once in a while, Mark Levin.
You don't have to eat the whole thing.
Once a week maybe you have a big
meal. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Here's the headline. GOP reality check. Obama looking tougher to beat in 2012. Republicans are experiencing a reality check about 2012. I consider him a favorite, albeit a slight favorite, said Karl Rove. There's an unmistakable sense.
I think John McCain's got to win Ohio. What happened? Oh, I'm over.
That's still Jim's, just one of the highlights of his life, is the look on Karl Rove's face when they announced on Fox News that Obama had won Ohio.
He was going to wet his pants. He looked like George Bush on 9/11.
There's an unmistakable sense among Republicans that the breezy predictions of Obama turning out to be the next Jimmy Carter were a tad premature.
Yeah.
Representative Tom Cole, Republican of Oklahoma, said the electorate will look much different in 2012 than it did in 2010. It's going to be younger, browner, and more to the left. Oh, God, their worst nightmare. The problem, many analysts saying, for Republicans is most acute among Hispanics, a pivotal block of the electorate.
A pivotal block of the electorate.
Thank you, Tom Brokaw.
Particularly in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. You understand my point. Okay.
And Louisiana.
All right.
Lafayette, Louisiana.
Watch. I bet you know what? You got to give the president political points. He'll probably bring up the immigration debate like right before the election. So he's like, come on, do all that Hispanic bashing. Let's go.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. We talked to Larry Korb earlier today, Assistant Defense Secretary under Ronald Reagan. Mm-hmm. And he and I love talking about this stuff, how they're just the party of Reagan, except that they're not.
Computer says no.
Great piece in The Atlantic, what Palin and other GOP leaders don't get about Ronald Reagan. Palin said, she was recently speaking, she said Ronald Reagan would be so proud of the conservative movement today. But No.
Computer says no.
No.
But it's awfully, anyone that actually knew him says no, he wouldn't even recognize it. Like Larry Korb.
That's right.
But it's awfully hard to imagine today's conservative movement even including someone like Reagan. This is what I always say. This is in the Atlantic. Fine Americans over there. Endorsed by Palin, many of this year's GOP nominees fell short in statewide general elections. More moderate Republicans might have won, as one conservative House Committee chairman explained. Sarah Palin cost us control of the Senate. The former Alaska governor stood by her pick, saying she supports pro-life, pro-Second Amendment conservatives who've never voted for a tax increase. That criteria would mean no Reagan. He signed the law that legalized abortion in California. Did you know that? He signed the law that allowed no-fault divorce for the first time, championed and approved the largest tax increase in state history, an increase that represented 30% of the state general fund. He raised sales taxes, corporate taxes, inheritance taxes, liquor taxes, cigarette taxes, and the top income tax rate. Under Governor Reagan, the California Air Resources Board was founded. The real spending and real spending increased almost 13%, more than under his Democratic successor, Jerry Brown.
What?
What? Reagan even signed the Mulford Act, prohibiting the carrying of firearms on one's person or in a vehicle in any public place or on any public street.
Hmm.
Huh, not so fun facts about Ronald Reagan if you're Sarah Palin. He also raised taxes at least seven times. In 1982 alone, he raised taxes twice, including the largest peacetime tax increase in American history. He raised payroll taxes, gas taxes, corporate taxes. In fact, Reagan raised taxes every year he was president, but the first and the last. He also raised spending by nearly a quarter in real terms, more than double the increase under President Clinton.
Who are you, and what have you done with Ronald Reagan?
He had an entire new cabinet, Veteran Affairs, and all he grew the federal civilian workforce by about 200,000. Wow, that's big government. Thank you, Atlantic, for those not-so-fun facts about Ronald Reagan for conservatives. We will see you tomorrow for Hump Days with Hal on The Stephanie Miller Show.